You're listening to Jedi and Germs, a weekly podcast brought to you by the Torn by Sports Podcast Network and blogtalkradio.com. I'm Alan Zog, the Jedi. He's John English, the Germs guy. Hello, John.
Hello, Alan.
How are you?
Silky smooth.
I feel like that was half of a response as well as a dig towards me. I don't know what gave that away.
I'm not going to lie. I was wondering if you practiced that at home. like if you sit in front of the mirror and you're just like, this is K-L-U-V, K-Love. You're on the air with Alan Jedi Love Zog.
What song do you want to hear tonight?
This is Venus Flytrap playing Barry White for you.
We're not stalling here. We're getting right into the give Alan a bad time part of the podcast.
Yes, we are. I showed up at Devin's house and started off in my Kermit the Frog impersonation, and he shook his head at me and said no. And then, yeah, it went
downhill.
You brought
it up. Do you want to show the people again?
No, they've heard it. They've listened to the show. It's okay. Devin, how are you, other than wanting to take digs at me, apparently?
I'm just going to say this. I am... Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's right, baby. we're about a week away.
I know. Aside from the opposite, John jumped right on that song train. That's a perfect song. But yeah, let's kick off our jazz talk. We might as well, because we are 1 week, by the time y'all are listening to this, closer to 1 week away from the first preseason game next Saturday, the 29th. It's time to get excited if you aren't already. Seriously.
I can't wait. I'm like tired of doing off-season stuff. Let's have actual stuff to watch and analyze.
We went from, oh yeah, boom, and then to you. I don't even know.
I think it was. Was that a? Oh yeah, that's the spot.
Oh yeah.
Oh Donnie, dunk that basketball.
I'm that Vince McMahon gif where he's just going oh, and then falls backwards.
That is my favorite gif, I think, especially the one that the guy did of the curling. If you haven't seen that one, you have to see it.
Or the Cleveland Browns. Did you see them do it?
Was it after last night? Because that's probably when.
Wow.
Yeah, it's from the Browns Twitter account. Is awesome.
Okay. I'm going to have to go check that one out.
Let's talk about what we have on the Jazz agenda, though.
Yeah, let's do it. Before we get into the big topic of the day, because I think it's Jazz and NBA related, do you want to start with the Deron Williams news?
Yeah, let's do that. I assume everyone had a chance to read Falk's piece, at least the three of us anyway, but it was a really good feel-good story on reconciliation, and I'm glad it finally happened.
Yeah, me too. I found it interesting from the words of Steve Stark that this had been something that had been not sitting so well with him for quite a while, and he wanted to help mend the broken bridge and pull it all together. And so this kind of started out when was it? It was about June, I think, or just before June, somewhere around there that they want. Well, it's when it happened, but I guess Starks wanted to kind of get this together. And yeah, I love the article. I love the piece. And I found myself laughing, right? When Deron, you know, that you hear Deron's side a little bit about speaking with Sloan, and you hear how Sloan, it indicates that Sloan wasn't too receptive to the apology at first. And all I could do was laugh. I'm like, that's Sloan. That's bullheadish Sloan, right? I mean, I called it that whole thing because what more do you expect from him? But I really liked the way it all played out. Deron Williams is very genuine. I mean, I love hearing the fact that, and a lot of people I think miss out on this. And he said this over the last few years too. He admits fault. He admits fault in the whole process, and he knows where he went wrong. But I loved how more in-depth he went with Aaron Falk on this as to where he felt like he went wrong and why. A very telling piece, a very telling story. And yeah, I appreciated Deron talking with Aaron about this and Aaron writing this piece about the whole thing, because it's an eye-opener. It's great.
Yeah. I think one thing that makes it great is that Sloan didn't make it easy for him.
No.
I think there are a lot of people who are still mad at D-Will, but I've gotten over it a long time ago. But to have this final step happen, I think, is terrific. I do still wish we could just get Darren on a 10-day or something just so he could retire a jazz man. And glad – I mean, it feels like an ugly chapter is behind us.
I agree. Devin?
I don't know. I read it, and as much as Darren seemed to want to, you know, rebuild the bridge, I don't know that Jerry did. And I don't know that Jerry took away from it what everyone wants to say he did.
And that's – does that surprise you, though? That's typical Jerry.
No, it doesn't at all. It's just – It's that part of the story, because it is a feel-good story, but it's that thought that makes it sad for me, that that Jerry may not be able to really put this behind him the way that, say, Darren can and everyone else can. Because, you know, if anyone should be able to, I wanted to be coach. You know, after everything he gave to the team, you know, what he meant to the Jazz and to the state of Utah and Jazz fans everywhere, I just wish that it were easier for him. You know what I mean? I wish it hadn't been that bad and that difficult. And this, to me, this is the first time we really got to see what transpired, right?
Yeah, to an extent. I mean, we've heard stories about it, multiple stories on it, but I think this was a little bit more laid out there and unfolding, and really surprising, because it wasn't just that night. It wasn't just the night of the Bulls, which will forever go down in February of 2011. It wasn't just that night. This had been going on for years,
right,
since Darren had been drafted.
But like the little details, like him not saying, you know, good, what was he, what did he usually say? Good game or something like that. And he said good luck instead.
Right.
You know, it's tough. It's tough for me to swallow exactly how this impacted and how Jerry still feels. You know, but I'm glad D Will made every attempt finally, and I think Jazz fans can put it behind them, and you know,
I think Jazz fans need to put it behind.
Oh yeah, yeah. And I think we have. I think we've got someone new to pick on, and so you kind of let that one go. You know what I mean? Like, it's like a Rajah Bell thing. It's like, that's old news, or, you know, now Darren is the old news, and it's all about, well, Gordon needs to text or call Gail. You know, we can only be mad at one right. former player at a time, it seems.
So to your point, Devin, and I'm going to ask you this, John, when reading the piece, I felt like we never really got from the point of view of Jerry. I felt like this was very point of view Darren, and also point of view Starks. Right. So I don't feel like we ever got much from where Jerry was. And the part that was telling to me was, you know, because I felt the same way you did, Devin, was when they were, Aaron talked about how they spoke, but then it talked about the fact that Steve Starks got up, everybody left, and it was just the two of them. And you're still only hearing one side of it, and how Darren responded and how he felt Sloan responded. I don't know that we're ever going to hear the other side of it. Will we?
I don't think we will, for two reasons. One, Jerry's health has been declining, so it's just kind of harder to communicate with him. And the other side is it's Sloan. You know, I could just see him looking deadpan in a reporter going, "You want me to talk about my feelings?" And just staring at the guy.
No, it's true.
No, I think that's what it is.
No, and I think that's very true. And that's, and I just overall, this piece had a very good, warming, good, fuzzy, whatever you want to call it, feeling to it. And I thought it was good. And John, I'm with you, and I want to ask both of you, 10 day or not, I don't care at this point in time. I think it would be great to bring him in. But do you someday retire his jersey in the rafters? For example, I mean, we had issues with Adrian Dantley back in the day. How long did it take him to finally warm things over there and hang his? Does that ever happen for Darren?
No. Well, no, I don't think so. I think we need a ring of honor, because I think I think the Jazz have already been too liberal with what numbers they've retired already. And I think part of it is just a young franchise, and you just want to get some numbers up there to make us look like a bigger franchise. But I think if they did some kind of Ring of Honor, yes, put him in that. But how long was he with the Jazz? 6 years?
Longer, you know? Longer than that. What? No, was it 2000? Was it 2005 draft or 2004?
Okay. Is it 2005 draft?
So 6 years.
2005, 2006 season. And so then he was traded mid-season.
2011. So it was actually 5 years. 5 years.
Yeah. So 5.5 years. That's not
right.
That's not long enough. I mean, Hornacek was barely here long enough, and even then, I'm not really sure he should have had his jersey retired. But definitely some kind of Ring of Honor thing. And personally, I kind of wish they'd do that with Frank Layden and Larry Miller, is
right.
Have them in Rings of Honor, because they didn't actually play.
Okay.
I get honoring them, but you know, I'm glad they retired Hot Rod's number as what, 1223, instead of just picking another actual basketball number to retire under.
Right.
That's what I'd like to see for those two guys.
And here's my last question in conjunction with that one. We know Darren has a home here in Salt Lake. We know he resides here, you know, occasionally. So my next question is, if the opportunity arises, do you agree with giving him some sort of role and capacity in the Jazz organization in some way or another, whether it be TV broadcast, whether it be something else? What do you say to that?
Does he have the skills? I mean,
right.
I don't know what skills he has.
If he has the skills, is that something you'd be on board with? That's the question. Yeah. I should have put it at.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I have the same thoughts. You know, if he can do the job, let him do the job. If there's an opening for it, and I don't care if that's, you know, like if Harpring were to stop doing the broadcast, if he would fit into that role, if it was something on like the coaching staff, like a player development or something like that, even if it was just kind of like what Carl did. Remember how Carl came back a few years ago and did some mentoring with the big guys.
Even Mehmet Okur for a little while as a player personnel kind of coach for a bit too.
Right.
So, okay. Well, that's all I wanted. I was just curious on that.
This story did bring up something that I want to say because it needs to be said. And I'm not going to say what I want to say exactly, but I'm going to tell you that it is complete and total baloney that Jerry Sloan does not have a statue outside of Vivint Smart Home Arena.
Amen.
Mm.
I don't know why it is not there, but we talk about this and that leads into what Jerry meant to the franchise, and we talk about his health, and it honestly just makes me livid that it has not happened.
Needs to happen before he passes.
Exactly.
End of story.
What are you waiting for?
Yeah.
What could there possibly be to wait for?
Well, and you have a court that's named after the owner. You have two streets named after Carl and John, as well as two statues. So yeah, something needs to be done for Jerry. Now, I think part of the reason that's never happened is I don't think Jerry ever wanted it. And so I think out of respect of Jerry's wishes, I don't think it happened. Agree or disagree?
I could see that.
Partially, yeah.
So I think that's one of the biggest reasons there. But anyway, it's neither here nor there. I'm good with, yeah. We need to move past. Darren Williams was my favorite point guard in the league when he played. He was my favorite Jazz man. He still is one of my all-time favorites when it comes to the Jazz. I don't care, mistakes made, not, he still is. And I will always hold a reverence for him and his time here in Utah. So, and I hope everybody else, Jazz fan, can get over the situation now that it's passed, and let's embrace him again.
Well, let's jump to the next topic, since we're kind of talking about Jazz and we're talking about legacy.
Yes.
There was an announcement that came out this week, and Jazz Nation seems pretty stoked on it. New jerseys for this season. John, what do you think of them?
They're cool. I'm not that big a jersey guy. They're cool.
I mean, they're retro. They're a great callback.
Yeah.
Do you like having the purple back into the mix?
Yes.
As opposed to the navy blue
yes,
that
I do.
They've been doing?
Yes.
Yes, I do.
I will say this too. Please don't do away with the city jerseys because I love those. And I know they won't. I know they intend to continue to use them on occasion.
Oh, no, they'll be here this season, but I think those are only a two-season jersey.
Which is unfortunate because they're one of my favorite jerseys.
Right, but anyway, they'll do something else. But
yes, I like the new retro look. I do.
With these new purple jerseys, I don't know if this is fact or not, but this gives me hope that for the Christmas Day jersey, because the Jazz will have a Christmas Day jersey.
Yeah, and it better not be ugly sweater type.
That'd be awesome. That would be great. I'm kind of hoping we get a green jersey for Christmas, because we've had the green jerseys in the past.
Yeah.
And some of my favorite ones are the green and gold. The Sundiata Gaines throwback.
Uh-huh.
So we'll see. But I personally love them. Alan, you?
I do. I like them.
Okay.
John's kind of, whatever. They're jerseys.
They're not just jerseys, John.
All right. Let's move on from that and kind of translate over to an NBA topic, but Jazz still. ESPN, John, I know how you feel about this, so I'll let you have your rant. ESPN released their NBA rank, but...
Go ahead.
No, that's what I was going to say, but...
But they only did 100. Come on, guys. Give me some stuff to drill down on.
They let go of all their good writers. Give them a break.
Yeah. They let go of their good writers, and so 400 players dropped off the list.
Well, they haven't done 400 for a while, but man, I thought they'd at least do 200. Oh, well. Yeah. Anyway.
Well, let's talk about the Jazz men that were on that list, though, because, again, just as with SI, all five starters were on that list, were they not?
Yes, they were. And one thing that I wanted to do is look back and see how the Jazz guys did last year compared to this year. Last year, ESPN had four Jazz men make their top 100. And it was Rudy at 14, Rubio at 48, Rodney Hood at 92, and Derek Favors at 94. Flash forward a year. Derek Favors is at 83, so he moved up for them. Joe Ingles jumps into the top 100 this year for them at 53. Ricky Rubio's at 52, so down a little bit. And Rudy Gobert is at 23. I'm surprised they dropped him back that much, because once he came back, he really, really impacted the season. So I'm not exactly sure why.
I'll tell you why. I think there were too many other players that bumped up into the top 10 that they didn't have a place for him. That's my opinion. Not so much what Rudy did or didn't do, more than what other players did. And I don't know who else is on the list ahead of him, but I have a feeling that there are a few players on that list ahead of him that, in their opinion, and I'm not saying it's anybody else's, it's just their opinion, made a bigger splash, and they believe will make a bigger splash this year, and that's why they moved them up ahead of him.
Yeah, let's just say offense was valued over defense with some of these spots.
Absolutely.
But then they put Donovan Mitchell at 22, so that's cool.
Okay. Devin, you were shaking your head too. You don't think I'm right on that either. Is it the offense thing, or did you?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. I don't think they value a big man who can't shoot.
Okay.
And that's fine. Let him sleep. Rudy's going to do his thing, and we'll be just fine.
Just out of curiosity, can you run through the 20 whatever other names ahead of him?
All right. So I'll do their 25 backwards. 25, Kevin Love. 24, Jason Tatum. Rudy Gobert. Donovan Mitchell. Kyle Lowry. Number 20, Kyrie Irving. Klay Thompson, Ben Simmons, number 17, Karl-Anthony Towns, Draymond Green, Victor Oladipo, 14 is Jimmy Butler, 13 is Paul George, Nikola Jokic comes in all the way at 12, number 11, Chris Paul, 10, Damian Lillard, 9, Joel Embiid, 8, Kawhi, 7, Russ, 6, AD. They did something cheap here. They had a tie for fourth place between Kevin Durant and Greek Freak. I think that's lame. And number 3 is Harden, 2 is Steph, 1 is LeBron.
That is a cheap move, and I would disagree with it. As good a player, and we talked about this last week because Devin had his doubts too, as good a player as Greek Freak is, Kevin Durant's better. End of story. Yep. In fact, in my opinion, Kevin Durant should be number top three on that list. No,
Kevin Durant should be number 2.
Yeah, or I would give him number 2 or 3. I think he and Steph could be interchangeable at times, but I think that he is definitely top three, and I don't know why they threw him all the way down there in a tie with Greg.
Yeah, he's number two on SI's list.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for Andy Bailey to put together his compiled player ranking thing so we can go through that. But
Jokic,
yeah,
number one.
Jokic.
He's not going to go Jokic number one.
Oh, you wait.
Joe Ingles number two.
Oh, Dan, you hear that? gosh.
Anyway.
Yeah, so that top 25, I mean, I don't disagree with players on that list. I just disagree with placement of some of them. And yeah, anyway.
It does show you how talented and how deep the league is, though, when you start hearing those names. You know, what did you say? Kyrie was like 20. So
yeah,
agreed.
We're very fortunate with the product that the NBA has on the court.
So let me ask you this, John. Of the two lists that we've now broken down, Derek Favors at 80. What did you say? 83 today.
83.
And then on SI, he was 51. To you, which Derek Favors is the more proper place of Derek Favors, like the more incumbent of what you expect?
Well, I understand why he would fall that far with ESPN compared to SI, because I just feel like the two guys at SI did more drill down work, and they feel like the ESPN list feels more like they just looked at box scores and career stats and just kind of threw it together, because ESPN, they have players like Spencer Dinwiddie, OG Anunoby. You know, are these guys really ahead of Favors? So,
no.
You know, there's a few on there like that.
So the 51's more indicative of what we think Favors should be.
Yeah. And the thing is, I don't think Favors' stats are going to be much better this year than they were last year, but
neither do I.
There's all those intangibles that I think they recognized more in Joe Ingles. I'm glad he got that credit. And I also think it helps that Joe can shoot 44% from three. But there's all those Favors is another one of those guys where his value to the team isn't fully captured in the box score.
Right.
And John, I know that you're upset they only did 100 players, and I would like more, but there is someone who was very happy they did not do like a full 400 or 500 list.
Uh-oh.
Who? Who's that?
Rodney Hood is overjoyed that they did not do a list of more players. Because can you imagine where he would be placed now?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because where did you say he was last season? He was
92.
Oh, the drop he would have had. Ooh.
Yeah, I'm pulling for him this season and hope he makes a comeback. But yeah, it's interesting to look at your starting lineup from a year ago to your starting lineup now. Jazz fans got to be a lot more confident coming into this season, because I don't think we expected the team to gel anywhere near as well as they did last season. Come January. You know, that winning streak was unbelievable.
Also of note, I just find it interesting that again, Ricky Rubio and Joe Ingles are nearly side by side in yet another ranking, and they're in the 50s again. So and both of them, I think both of them are equally as good and important to the team. So I like that about it. It's an interesting observation. Also interesting, the league I was in, Fantasy League last year, about how Joe Ingles and Ricky Rubio were not the best guys to be putting in your lineup in fantasy. They didn't give you a lot of fantasy stuff, depending on your scoring in your league. So, I mean, they're solid guys off the bench, but they were never really starter material in the fantasy world. And it was interesting because we had a chat going on with our fantasy league last year. Interesting to hear thoughts from people about Joe Ingles and about Ricky Rubio, and they would trade them both and then they'd go off. And then it was like, yeah, anyway, it's just interesting to me. The two of them are quite an interesting conversation. So
one thing I wanted to note is Jay Crowder was 38 on their list last year.
And
they thought he'd make a bigger splash in Cleveland.
Yeah.
And he didn't. And I thought he was great when he came to Utah, but I think that really affected affected where they were going to put him.
Agreed. Agreed. I think he'll be better this year. I think he's had a full off season of time to practice and focus, and fall camp will be much more focused. He doesn't have to worry about, you know, the life issues he had last year. So I think we're going to see a better Jay Crowder this year, but that's an interesting note. So any other notes on NBA 100 that you want to hit on? Any other players stand out to you?
Not really.
All right, let's move on to NBA news and notes. And wouldn't you know it, the topic is about a guy that last week we were talking about feeling like, I was talking about feeling like he was misplaced in the top 10. And here we go.
Here we go. Here we go. Here we go.
Yeah. Jimmy Butler.
Who saw this coming? I mean, we heard rumbles that he didn't like Karl Anthony Towns, but, you know, Tibbs is doing his best to get all of Butler's former teammates together, and yet it's still not enough.
Yeah, but is that really what you want? If you're Jimmy Butler.
No. The band's back together. Starts already reminding me.
I didn't like being in this band the first time. No, I think his preferred destinations, and again, they're just his preferred destinations. I don't think he has a no trade clause because he was already traded to Minnesota. What do you guys think? We're talking about the Clippers, the Nets, or the we talked Knicks. About this. The Knicks.
Yeah, we did talk about that. I think the Clippers might be his best option, or is a number one option. I'm hearing he's from LA. Is this another aspect of another player wanting to go back home? Does he want to go back home to LA and play?
Part of it, I think what he really wants to be is the number one guy.
Yeah.
Get his max money, be the number one guy. I don't think he likes sharing the spotlight with Karl Anthony Towns, and it sounds like they're just two completely different personalities. Butler was born in Houston, by the way.
Oh, okay. So sorry, my bad.
I think, and then he went to Marquette. Where's Marquette at?
It's not like Wisconsin. Midwest.
Okay, no, so obviously me saying that hometown LA was a mistake. I just read it somewhere.
Geography isn't really a matter. I think it's just a matter if he wants to go somewhere where he can be the number one guy. He can get his max money, and he's in a place where he can, where younger guys are getting groomed up, and then he can attract free agents later. The three teams are all big markets.
Yeah. I think he's New York or LA here, because he could go be the number one guy if he were traded to Orlando or
right.
Could he in Miami? You know, Miami's got some decent pieces, I would think.
Yeah, I'm in geography as far as it doesn't matter where he's lived up to this point.
Okay, right.
But yeah, he wants to go to the number one or number two market. He can get a lot of endorsements there. If he's the guy who can resurrect the Knicks or the Nets, and I feel like we talked about this last week, then yeah, he's king. He's gold.
It's interesting though, John, because we did talk about this last week, and we talked about Kyrie going to New York and perhaps joining up with another star like Butler. But based on what you're saying and based on how we're perceiving this request, if Butler goes to the Knicks, he's not going to want Kyrie there.
No, and I'm going to go a step back. Based on our perception of the Kyrie situation, why would Kyrie want to play with anybody else? Because isn't that the whole reason he wanted to get away from LeBron? He wanted to go somewhere to be the guy? So why are you putting two guys that want to be the guy on the same team? I just don't see that happening.
It could happen. Like we said, I think the market plays a big part in it, but I don't know. The Nets was one that kind of threw me. What about you guys? Because
you're still in the number one market though, aren't you?
Right, but what do the Nets have otherwise?
I know.
I mean, you got to want to win a little bit. I play pickup ball, and I want to win. You know what I mean? I'm not doing this in front of millions of people. This isn't my job, but when I step on the court, I want to win.
What do you think of the Brooklyn thought, John? Is that curious? Or, I mean, what do you think?
Between the three, You know, I think I like the Knicks best for him. It gets him back in the East, and the East is really thin, and it doesn't look like they're going to realign conferences anytime soon. Nets have finally controlled their draft picks, but they're still not much in the barrel there. And Knicks just seems like a team where you could instantly attract free agents next year and just put them right back on the map. And I like their coach. So of those, I would, if I was him, I think I'd be leaning Knicks.
Okay. I don't know if I'm going to hit something that Devin would bring up on Quick Hits or not, but did y'all see the back and forth between certain players following this news or around this news?
Wiggins and Steven Jackson, right?
Well, and Wiggins and Butler, too.
Oh, did they finally start going at each other?
Well, Wiggins said something, and then Butler turned around and responded in video. Did you not see the video?
I did not.
His brother and him were out on the field, and his brother videoed him doing something, and I can't even remember. I'd have to go find it now, where I think I retweeted it the other day, where he responded with some sort of a hand gesture kind of thing at Wiggins. I have to go find it. Hold on. Now we're talking about it. I've got to find it. Shoot. Where is it?
Well, I can tell you right now, I side with Wiggins on this. Whatever it is, you know, this demanding a trade and saying where you want to go, I don't know. John, I'm fed up with it. I think you get into a contract, play your contract. Unless you have a no-trade clause, we don't care where you want to go. And to me, the Spurs did it right. And the Spurs actually didn't do Kawhi wrong, I don't think. They traded him to one of the best teams in the East. Yeah, they sent him, you know, to a small market in another country, which was funny. But, I mean, he's in a good basketball situation. So it kind of worked out for everyone there. If you're Tibbs and Jimmy says, I want to go to these three places, do you trade him to one of those three places or do you just say, thanks, I don't care?
I say, thanks, I don't care, because when you look at those teams, what are they going to really get for Butler that's fair? You know, a first round pick, but if Butler's good enough, and especially if he goes to one of the East teams, maybe he's not in the lottery anymore. Like the Knicks, how would salaries match up? It would be either Enes Kanter or Tim Hardaway Jr. I mean, both of those are a pretty big downgrade from Jimmy Butler.
Well, and you don't really want Kanter. You know,
yes.
Do the Timberwolves want Kanter?
I wouldn't think so. I mean, if I was the Wolves and Knicks are trying to talk to me, I'd be like, okay, first round pick plus Kevin Knox, and then we'll see what other salaries we can make it fit. Although Tibbs wouldn't want to do that because he doesn't like rookies. So you're in a bind.
Okay, while I'm looking for this, because it was shared with me the other day, and I am seriously trying to find this. But while I'm looking for it, Zach Lowe just released a piece. I just retweeted it about interesting players and Ricky Rubio's first on his list.
Interesting how? Like great hair, nice tattoos?
No, I didn't get a chance to read it. I'm just saying I scanned the article and Ricky Rubio of the Utah Jazz was the very first player he started to speak of.
Ricky could be one of the most interesting men in the NBA, right?
Yeah, I would think so. Now that he's going to be in his second year, he had a dramatic change over the course of last season. It's the first time he's going to have the same starting lineup for the second year in a row on any team, same coach as well. Now I want to find the piece.
Also,
when did he tweet it out?
Alan just retweeted it.
I just retweeted it. Okay. He shared it this morning at 7:03 a.m.
All right, then.
But while you're looking that up too, I'm reading through some stuff that came up to me. Sporting News reported yesterday in the morning. Sources tell SN's Sporting News' Sean Devaney, Tom Thibodeau would rather leave the Timberwolves than rebuild following a Jimmy Butler trade. That's another side story on the Jimmy Butler thing to watch.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, Woj is saying that Minnesota's shooting down all other teams trying to ask for trade options.
Interesting. Man, I really, really wish I could find this.
That's okay.
I can't. This is what it was. It was Worldwide Wobbs shared it the other day. I'm going to share it with you guys. I just found it. It's going to go in the thing. He shared it the other day, and it was from Instagram is what it was. Jimmy Butler's Instagram, and it was his Instagram story response to Andrew Wiggins' brother when his brother tweeted, "Hallelujah," after the Butler trades news.
Oh, I did see that.
So that started the whole thing, and that's what brought Steven Jackson into it. That's where we ended up, you know, 2 days later with back and forths, and yeah. Anyway,
I love the pettiness of the NBA.
So do I. And, you know, I wish Steven Jackson just shut up and stay out of it. Anyway, I'm not a big Steven Jackson fan. Never have been. So, I don't know. That's enough of the hashing of the Jimmy Butler news, though. I think we spent more time than we need to on it. Check out that Zach Lowe piece. I don't know if you really want to talk about it now. We can mention it later, unless you had a chance to look at it at all.
Say that again?
I said...
I'm reading through this.
You are reading through it. Okay, that's what I was going to say.
We're recording, John. Don't be reading while we're recording.
You might as well. It's live on Jedi and Germs, the release of Zach Lowe's most interesting NBA players piece.
You going to, like, read it out loud like Morgan Freeman? You know, or...
What are your thoughts on Ricky Rubio? On the Ricky Rubio part?
I think he's the most
interesting.
Well,
most of it is stuff we've heard before.
Right.
Talks about the confidence turnaround. Rubio discovered sharing the ball concealed his weakness, that jumper, instead of exacerbating it. When Mitchell started possessions with a pick and roll on one side of the floor, he bent the entire defense toward him. They could not gird themselves to duck under a Rubio pick and roll because they did not know if Rubio would get the ball. The beauty of our team is anyone can shoot, said Ingles, especially Donovan. He always shoots. Note, Ingles was teasing. He's always teasing.
No, not Joe.
And then he's got all these video highlights. It's worth it for these video highlights, which I'll obviously watch later. But yeah, good stuff in there.
By the way, we have so hashed the Butler thing, but I'm just reading comments on Instagram. Steven Jackson's comment. My bad, y'all don't like the truth. I'm going to bed. Got 6 a.m. Lifting and basketball. Love to all. And so then Wiggins responds. To somebody says, you hit catch and shoot threes. Your point per game was probably 6.5. Never been on a highlight unless Duncan was double teamed or Parker kicked it to you. When's the last time you seen your own highlights pop up on the tube? LOL, your retirement looked like it's going great. Nice wall.
All right.
The pettiness of the NBA. There you go. And Devin, what are you going to hit on the Blake Griffin, Joe Ingles thing in quick hits too or no? Did you see that?
I saw it. I wasn't going to touch on it, though.
Okay. Did you see it, John?
No, I didn't.
Joe Ingles tweets out, my purple jersey sold out already? ?
Blake. Oh, yes.
Blake Griffin responds, yeah, Michigan is cold. Needed something to burn in my fireplace. Joe Ingles responds, always knew you wanted my jersey. My Clippers one is probably hanging right next to yours in Staples somewhere. And Blake Griffin favorited it. And a few NBA players got in on the action and were laughing about it too. I just thought it's great. When Joe can talk smack on Twitter just as much as he does in the NBA court, it's hilarious. So, all right. Any other NBA news and notes?
No.
Let's move on to Devin's quick hits.
Okay. Let's start with the retirement news.
Okay.
Dwayne Wade, Last Dance. How do you guys feel about him coming back for one more season?
Okay. Let him do his victory lap. Let him get one more year. That's cool. He can still play. I mean, he's not a complete shell. And it's good for him to do one more round with Miami.
Do you think he's
so, good for him?
You think he's doing it just purely out of love for the game? And does that make you feel better about it? Because like when,
sort of, yeah. Because I mean, he knows he's not going to win a ring with Miami, but he did win three there. I mean, that's his home. It's like picture if Kirilenko back when he was like 35 or something, he just wanted to come back to Utah and play one more year. I think everyone would have loved that. And I think that's what Wade's doing. He's just like, I was here the whole time. I left briefly. Chicago and Cleveland didn't really work out. He came back home last year. He's going to do one more year and just feel all the love and appreciation.
I want to tackle this for a second because, Devin, you ask an interesting question, and this is going to be brief, but Tim Duncan's announcement of retirement versus Paul Pierce versus Kobe Bryant versus Dwayne Wade. When I watched this video from Dwayne Wade, I was almost anticipating Tim Duncan-like. No, instead it was, we're having my going away party all season long. Here we go. Tim Duncan's message when he retired was, hey, everybody, I'm saying goodbye. I'm moving on. It wasn't a get prepared where I'm going to play one more season. Do you guys have issue with players doing it this way? Because I do. I don't like it. Just announce that you're done when you're done. Don't sit there and say, oh, one more season, guys. Let's party.
I think it depends. You know, I think if you're doing it because you want the attention, that's one thing. But with Wade, I don't feel like that's it. I don't feel like he wants a look at me going away tour. I think he genuinely wants to play one more year of basketball. And,
okay.
And everyone gets the rumors going of, oh, is he going to retire? And you have to address those. If he wants to play, like I said, out of love of the game, absolutely. Do it.
Okay. John?
Yeah.
I mean,
I agree.
Okay.
I mean, if you're ready to hang it up and you want to play another season just to have people look at you, that's one thing.
Right.
You know, I think Duncan got to the point where everyone's talking about it, and he's like, no, I'm done. I'm over it.
Right.
You know, but if everyone had hyped it up and he had genuinely wanted to play one more season, then he would have said, yeah, I'm going to play one more season.
I just don't think he would have made a parade out of it like others.
Vince Carter's going to do this for the next 15 years. He's going to be like, yeah, I'm going to play one more season. This guy's going to be dunking at 55.
Next.
Next quick hit. LeBron James is playing for a different team, guys. Looks like he signed a contract with the Toon Squad. You a fan of it? You looking forward to it? Thoughts?
No.
You're not?
I didn't think Space Jam was that good.
It wasn't. It was awful. It was a terrible movie. with terrible acting and terrible effects.
And I still enjoyed it.
Exactly. Especially when I was a kid. I grew up with that.
That's my whole caveat. I'm excited for it if they can make a good movie out of it.
And I will say this. I'm gonna start the Jordan LeBron debate here.
Ah.
I think LeBron James is funnier than Michael Jordan is.
Ooh. Well,
I 100% agree.
I do too. In fact,
100% agree.
In fact, he's had some acting gigs, and his most recent one to about hit theaters is Littlefoot. I want to go see Littlefoot.
I think that will make Space Jam 2 better than Space Jam 1.
His acting ability. Fair.
And the effects will be better.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued.
Like I said, I want to go see him voice act in Littlefoot. I'm already intrigued watching the trailers with him. So
Smallfoot.
Smallfoot. Thank you. Not Littlefoot. Smallfoot. I don't care.
And if you haven't seen Trainwreck, see Trainwreck. He's really funny in that.
Yeah, I heard that.
Okay. While we touch on LeBron James, you guys may not care. I care. I sent you a picture in our chat for the podcast that we use to kind of keep track of what's happening. Looks like the LeBron James season 16 shoes are out, and you may not care, but I want to know what you think of these because I'm looking at them and I love them.
When did you send them?
Just now. It's still being sent, guys. I'm sorry.
Buffering.
I'm like, what are you talking about? It's right there. There it goes.
Hey, there we go. Hey. Oh, okay. I dig. Ooh, the heel especially. I dig that.
Yes, the King James logo on the heel is something to behold.
Oh, red eyes in the lion. Oh. All right, I dig that.
John, are you a sneaker guy at all? I know you're not a jersey guy.
I appreciate them. I never buy them, but I appreciate them.
Do you appreciate those?
Yeah, I do. I do.
Okay, I just had to check.
you're not getting him on the fashion statements today,
I know,
there, Devin.
I'm really
John's just like fashion. Eh, whatever.
It's not my thing. I mean, if I could get a pair of those for like $30, yeah, I'd get them.
You're not gonna get a pair of those for $30.
If I could get them for $30, I would. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Moving
on, Sixers. General manager, they did not take anyone from the Utah Jazz. Thank you very much. They did select Elton Brand. Thoughts on the acquisition?
I like it.
Yeah. Hiring from within. Brand is a Philly guy. And, you know, sounds like, I guess he was VP of operations last year. So it just sounds like a natural promotion. Good for him.
No, it's a great move for them, I think.
Okay. Next quick hit, and we'll try to keep this one brief. The news that came out about Mark Cuban, I think he was donating, was it $10 million to put towards eliminating sexual harassment in the workplace environment, something like that. John, did you catch that story? It kind of got buried in the Butler news yesterday.
I saw it.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, NBA's investigating the Dallas Mavericks organization, weren't they, I believe?
Oh, did you guys see Mark Cuban on the Jump?
No.
No, I heard it was fantastic, though.
Nichols did not let him off easy. She made him squirm.
I love Nichols. I love Nichols. I need to go find this. I'll go to her timeline. I follow her. I'll go to her timeline and find it. Rachel Nichols is fantastic. So if she didn't let up on him, then you know it's got to be good.
Yeah.
So from what I heard, you know, some people think that the NBA didn't come down on Cuban like they should have. I did not see an actual print story about it, so I don't know what the decision was made about the investigation. Do you guys, either of you, catch that?
I didn't.
So we'll have to look that up, but that's something that everyone should be kind of following, because I think it's going to be important, not just in the NBA, but just in sports in general.
Agreed.
Let's jump over. Let's talk football for just a minute. Josh Gordon got traded out of Cleveland and is now with the New England Patriots. Do you see that being a good fit? Had some troubles with the Browns. Can the Patriots kind of straighten that out? And
Bill Belichick, pretty much, yes.
Who knows? I mean, maybe Gordon was the problem with the Browns not winning.
Yeah, Devin, if you don't hit this on your quick hits, then I'm going to smack
you.
We're there.
The Browns won a game.
In fact, can I include in this the somebody calling you out, our good friend Brian Brown calling you out last night?
We're going to talk about this. The Browns win their first game in like 50 years or something like that. I did not watch the game. I was busy getting my hoop on. But from what I understand, Tyrod Taylor was the starter, went out with injury. Baker Mayfield comes in, leads them to like 3 scoring drives. They win the game. He's suddenly a legend in Cleveland.
And why don't you tell the folks listening, remind everybody, you're not on the Baker Mayfield bandwagon.
I'm
you
not,
like who instead?
I just said, and I am willing to own up to it, I said that Josh Rosen will be a better NFL quarterback than Baker Mayfield. I said that when they were drafted. I believed it to be true then. I still believe it could be true now.
But you're less believing it could be true after last night.
I'm not less believing it. I'm not more believing it. I say it is one game. John, are we overreacting to one partial game played by a guy in a Cleveland Browns uniform?
I don't think so, because, you know, they didn't lose against the Steelers either. I mean, this could be something finally for them.
They're 1-1-1, dude.
Okay.
When was the last time Cleveland had a win for one and was 1-1-1?
Yeah, they're 500.
Wow. Okay.
Wait. So what we're saying is maybe it's not all Baker Mayfield who played part of a game. Maybe it's the fact that the Browns have started to assemble a team.
I'll tell you who.
Whoever is there can play around.
I'll tell you who part of it is. And this is why Baker Mayfield, I think, is going to have a better career than Josh Rosen at this point in time. He's got Carlos Hyde on the team with him. And I know how good Hyde is, because I saw him run the ball in San Francisco. Cleveland's got themselves a good offensive setup. Carlos Hyde's good, and Baker Mayfield's going to fit right in.
Has Josh Rosen played a snap? Has he played a snap in Arizona yet? So before you go throwing this guy under the bus, he can't do anything. Because some people, okay, some people were on the bench for a while too. A certain Aaron Rodgers didn't come into the NFL and just start right away. Let's take it down a notch. The bet. And Brian, if you are listening, the bet was to revisit this after three seasons. We would talk about this in three seasons. Do not come at me every week. Ridiculous.
This needed to happen today. I was waiting for this because after I saw Brian call you out, I just had to. This was waiting to happen.
It's fine. We're gonna talk about something else.
Brian Brown, thank you. Thank you for doing this because it made for fun.
Get out. Get out. Get out.
Next.
NFL, Super Bowl halftime show announced. Maroon 5 with frontman, sexiest man alive, Adam Levine. Good selection, bad selection, safe selection.
I don't mind the selection. I'm not a fan of everything they sing, but I don't think it's a bad one.
It's a little strange. What channel is it on? Is it on NBC this year?
Oh gosh, I can't remember. I know they rotate every year. What was it last year? Now I forgot.
Because if it's on NBC, I'm thinking that's how they got the gig because he's a judge on The Voice.
Agreed.
That's what this feels like. Totally if it's agree. Not on NBC, then fine. But I bet that's what happened.
I totally agree with that. It's a good point. I bet it is on NBC this year. I think they're due.
I don't know. I don't know. Let's talk about Ryan Fitzmagic, Ryan Fitzpatrick. And I don't want to talk about his football because I really don't care what the Bucs are doing. I just want to talk about his outfit.
Oh, you're talking about post-game outfit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that DeSean Jackson swagger going on.
Hey, he has a right to do that after the game he had on Sunday. You don't want to talk about his game, but I'm just saying.
I don't want to talk about the game.
I'm just saying.
Do you guys like the look? I feel like he should go with that look more.
I feel like a sense of anger towards his game on Sunday.
I don't even know who they play.
I know. I'm just kidding. No, I like the outfit. I thought it was funny. I mean, I thought it was great. Cool.
And everyone said he looks like Conor McGregor.
Well, and there were memes made for it.
Oh, yeah.
Especially because of who he beat. And I've forgotten already who he beat, too. But, oh, it was Philly. Maybe I think Philly? It was the Eagles.
I don't know. John, do you like his look? I'm going to keep grilling you about fashion until you finally cave.
It's unique. It stands out. And it's hard to stand out in football.
It kind of, like, looks like this throwback. You know what I mean? Like maybe he was playing in the 70s with those aviators and the chest hair all out and the gold chains.
Oh, Jim McMahon tweeted out something like, all he's missing is a bandana like that.
Pretty accurate.
By the way, it was the Eagles they beat 27-21.
Okay. Yeah, I'd be flaunting it too then.
Yeah.
Okay. I mentioned Conor McGregor. He's got a fight next week against Khabib. Alan's not interested. John, are you interested in seeing him back in MMA?
I mean, sure, I'll look up the results. You know?
Okay.
I watched the big stuff. I watched Floyd versus Connor, and it lived up to the hype, I thought. So, yeah, cool. Good for him. Get another win. I'll wait for his next high-profile one.
Okay. Because that seems like a pretty big one. Did you watch the Canelo Triple G fight? I did not. I heard it was fantastic. NBA Twitter was. You didn't watch that one?
Nope.
Okay.
By the way, back to Fitzpatrick real fast. When you throw 27 of 33 for 402, four touchdowns and one interception, you can wear whatever the crap you want.
I just like his outfit. That's all I care about. Did you guys hear that they're doing another fight for Mayweather and Pacquiao part two?
No, I don't care.
You don't care. John, do you care? Do you want to watch a couple old guys fight? Feels like Grudge Match. Not really. Like maybe it's just like the sequel to Grudge Match.
Ah. Yeah, Stallone, De Niro 2.
Yeah, I think it's just a cash grab, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because the last one, Mayweather just danced around the whole time, and that was it. It was a kind of a terrible fight.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I appreciated about Floyd versus Connor, was it was different than the type of fights he usually did. I mean, he evaded, but Connor got in a lot of shots early. And it was intriguing just to see if Connor had the stamina to keep up with Floyd, because if he could have had that boxer stamina, I think he could have won that. But Floyd knew that all he had to do was just wait a few rounds, and then Connor would be tired, and then he could move in for the kill. And that was entertaining to watch. All other Floyd fights I've watched is just him avoiding the other guy the whole time and getting in jabs here and there, and it's super annoying.
All right, let's do a quick jump back to football. Utah State playing Air Force this weekend. Who do you got? It's a home game, it looks like.
Utah State.
Utah State.
Okay. Utah's playing bye this week. Who do you got?
I don't know. How do they do against byes in the past?
Can I take the bye? I mean, no, I'm just kidding. Utah, of course.
Utah.
Thanks, guys.
I think it'll be a tie. Okay. I think it won't affect the record, by the way.
Yeah, I think they'll probably just leave it off the record. let's give you your moment here.
I'll already tell you, BYU.
You're taking them this week, John.
You take. Where are they playing?
They're playing
McNeese State.
McNeese State. Yes.
Yeah, BYU. I think I'll take it.
Okay. Do you guys want like 30 seconds to gloat? You guys had a good game last week.
Oh my gosh!
I gotta give it to you.
It was a great game.
That was a lot of fun. It was really surprising.
Pleasantly surprising. Yeah.
And it's that conflict where as you're watching them win, you're also feeling the pain of, man, if they could have just beat Cal last week. But yeah, it was pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it was nice to see. And I was kind of hoping for an equal contest, a contest of fun that later that night in Salt Lake too, Dev, but...
Yeah, well, when you have the other team with extra men on the field for every play.
Well, to be fair, I think the refereeing wasn't great in that game.
Oh, it was awful.
But also, to be fair, Utah offense needs some work. I think everybody can agree on that. That offensive line is still not there, and the receivers need to learn how to catch some balls.
You guys, you're not saying anything that we haven't heard for the last 10 years,
right.
When's the last time Utah's offense was
And the final fantastic. Observation I'm going to make, too. Washington's defense comes fast and hits hard, and wow.
Washington is a very good team.
They are a very good team.
I do think it's tough to win when two of your guys go out on targeting calls that are very questionable.
One of them I agreed with, the other one I did not.
Which one did you agree with?
The one I agreed with, only because of the rule, Brian Brown, again, I'll bring him up, the Blair call, that per rule was the correct call. But that goes back to the fact that the NCAA needs to address the rule. It needs work. Period.
Yeah, you straight up tackle a guy in the box. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So. Blair was disqualified on a rule call. So you can't argue the rule.
I can argue
but,
the rule.
But the other call I disagree with, because I don't think there was contact at all to the helmet. I think that was a horrible call. He led with his shoulder. I thought it was a very bad call.
Back to BYU, I do want to ask, with that win, we've said before that these early season rankings should be thrown out. They shouldn't really matter.
Right.
What is your takeaway from that game? What does it say about BYU, about Wisconsin? Was Wisconsin overhyped, do you think? Is BYU, you know, one of the top 10 teams in the nation? Where do you guys stand on this? I'm just curious where you are as fans.
John?
I think it's both. I think BYU is better than we thought they were, and Wisconsin isn't as good as we thought they were. So I think Wisconsin's going to wind up. I think they went down to 18 in one of the polls. So I bet they wind up finishing somewhere down there.
And in fact, I heard a curious conversation on Sunday on a sports talk where they talked about the Big Ten really not being all that good this year, being a down year. So. That speaks volumes, not just to Wisconsin, but the Big Ten as a whole. So, no, I'm with John. Both. I think BYU is better than we anticipated. And I think it's, you're already seeing that on the football field. Their offense is already in a better flow than it has been for 2 years. So they're better than anticipated, but Wisconsin, I don't think, is as nearly as good as advertised, which is crazy because they returned a lot of seniors and looked at how good they were last year.
Right. Okay.
That's why I don't want to downplay BYU's win either, because you brought Wisconsin back from last year looking really good, and I think it was a quality win for the Cougars overall.
And I think you guys should be gloating a little bit right now, personally.
I don't gloat.
No. Yes, you do. Both of you. You had said last week, because we talked about this game and everyone thought this was going to be a loss, you guys said stick with Mangum.
Yeah, and I still say that.
Well, you're not going to say...
I'm saying that, though, but did you see his numbers?
No, I did not.
He threw for 90 yards. That was it. Yeah. I was listening to post-game. Hans Olsen on 1280 was talking, and he came on. Talked about how Jeff Grimes puts Mangum in a position to succeed right now. Even if it's just 90 yards, he puts him in a position to succeed, not to have to recover or stress or worry, but he makes the right plays every time. That's why I'm okay with Mangum staying there right now.
He's got someone to do the heavy lifting for him.
Right.
Squally Canada's been a stud.
Yeah,
he's been fantastic in every part of the game I've seen for BYU, and I try to watch most of them.
And Mangum has tight ends that he can throw to that are safe, and they'll play it right. And we'll make the catches when necessary.
Did they get the tight end? Didn't they get a tight end transfer from Notre Dame?
John, do you know? I can't think of it.
I'm trying to think if he was a tight end or not.
I don't remember. I'd have to go back and look. I'm not sure. If somebody listening to this knows, tweet at us, because I really don't know.
Because that would be a fantastic get. Because Notre Dame's recent track record of tight ends, I mean, they're all going to the NFL. So if you can get someone who's committed to Notre Dame or been at Notre Dame to come back to BYU and play tight end for you, you're going to get good production out of them.
Right. So. No, and that's just the thing with the Cougars right now. I have low expectations, but Jeff Grimes makes the right play calls on offense right now to put these guys in a position to succeed. And it's up to them to execute. And Saturday was a well-executed game on offense. It was.
Okay. Well, good luck this week to our Utah teams. We didn't mention Weber State. They're going to win. They always win.
Yes, they do.
They're the best. That's it for quick hits.
All right, let's move on to pop culture. John, you saw a movie.
I did. I saw The Predator.
How was it?
It was okay. It got bad reviews, so my expectations were low, but I was overall entertained for most of it. The story has a predator crash lands on Earth and kills some people, but he gets captured and taken to a lab where scientists can study him. And he eventually escapes from the lab, so then a group of army specialists go after him. There's no like big movie stars in it. Boyd Holbrook is the main guy, and he's best known for Narcos and Logan. And I thought he was pretty good as the lead guy. And there's a lot of colorful characters in it. And the killing doesn't really start that early for characters you get to know, which I appreciated. But the ending just felt like a real naked cash grab of a, yes, we have plans for sequels. And I hate it when movies do that. Just go ahead and end your movie. And if it's good enough for a sequel, fine. But don't end your movie with a tap dance announcement that, way, we're open for sequels.
Question for you.
I think it weakens the movie. Yeah.
Is this a reboot or a continuation?
Continuation.
Okay.
It ignores Alien versus Predator, as they should, but it does mention that they know it's been to Earth before, and they mentioned 87 and 97, which is the years that the first two movies take place. So, yeah, it is definite a continuation.
Okay. All right. So Predator, or I should say The Predator, correct?
The Predator.
The Predator. I saw a movie.
Did you?
Yes, I did. I don't think you've seen this one yet because I don't think we've talked about it. I think you were waiting. Did you see Christopher Robin?
No, I never did.
You need to see Christopher Robin, John.
Yeah, MoviePass really screwed me over.
Yeah, I know. I enjoyed it. Oh my gosh, it had all the feels and the enjoyment of feeling like I was watching the old Winnie the Pooh cartoons all over again. I had my worries going in. I mean, I had my excitement and my anticipation, but my worries going into it as well, because I was worried about how they would handle the story. And let me tell you, the trailer, as in a lot of cases, the trailer did nothing other than get you excited for the film, because when I got into the film, it was nothing like I expected from watching the trailer. So Ewan McGregor, I thought did a wonderful job as the adult Christopher Robin. It is another one of those films, and you'll know this because you can probably name half a dozen on this list. Another one of those films about a father who's disconnected from his family, who, you know, work is more important, this and that. Family's trying to get in touch with him, and his past comes back to find him in one way or another to remind him of what's important. Am I naming the plot point of quite a few movies?
Yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's kind of what this movie, the premise was, but I loved the creativity of it all and having Winnie the Pooh return. In fact, we see Ewan McGregor return to 100 Acre Wood in this too. I mean, there's a lot of feel good about this show. You get the voice actors returned. You get, you know, Jim Cummings as Winnie the Pooh and Tigger. Devin gives the all right. Yes, exciting. Was that to what I said?
No. I'm over here getting news on my phone. Sorry.
Oh, I thought you were listening to what I was saying. No.
Yeah.
So Jim Cummings, I love the fact that he's back as Pooh and back as Tigger. Overall, the movie was great. So John, I suggest it when you get a chance to see it. And at this point in time, you're almost waiting for it to come out on DVD, because I think it's starting to filter out of the theater.
Yeah.
So great show. Other than that, nothing else on pop culture. Devin, you got anything else to add this week?
I watched one of the Avengers movies.
Oh, it's about time to join the rest of us.
It was good.
You don't remember which one?
I don't remember which one.
Who was the bad guy?
I don't remember which one.
I was all excited to talk about an Avenger film with you, and you just let me down.
Well, hit me with what they are.
Well, there was Avengers.
Thanos, Ultron, and Loki.
Yeah, Loki.
Ultron, I think. Was the one.
Ultron with the voice of James Spader.
Yes, because okay. I had a very difficult time with that. I was like, Red, what are you doing?
Yes, James Spader. So, okay, so you saw Age of Ultron then.
Yeah, I watched it. It was enjoyable. As always, special effects are fantastic. And then I did watch Blade Runner 2049.
Did you like it?
I did. The storyline was good. The cinematography was fantastic.
Have you seen the original?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I watched the original when John.
Yeah, John talked about it on the show before. Yeah.
So, yeah, but I enjoyed it. I, you know, it wasn't like it had to be this fantastic acting from Mr. Gosling, but in terms of watching it as a film, it was just like a beautiful visual experience to watch.
Well,
yeah.
All right. Cool. All right. That's pop culture for this week. I think that's a good place to go ahead and call it good.
I missed one thing.
What'd you miss?
I missed one thing. Our good friend 5KL.
Yes.
Noticed on one of the pictures of the jerseys that there was something in Spida Mitchell's locker. Did you guys see that?
Didn't it take him a while to figure out what it was? Somebody was struggling to figure out what it was yesterday.
He uses Old Spice Fiji deodorant, which is by far the best deodorant on the market.
That's what I was thinking of.
But the other thing, and Donovan wouldn't address it, there were shoes in the locker that had Spida on the back.
Yeah, that's what it was.
So I'm thinking that we're going to be seeing those Spida shoes pretty soon.
Maybe.
I'm hoping.
Here you go on fashion again. You know, John's over there thinking, meh.
John, do you care? Would you care more about some Donovan Mitchell signature shoes since he's on the Jazz? When's the last time that a Jazz player had a signature shoe?
I would care more.
You would? Okay.
All right. And it's Adidas, the only brand I usually wear to play basketball in. All right, that's it. Okay. All right, everybody, thank you for joining us for yet another edition of Jedi and Germs. We appreciate you long. Please take a moment and leave us a review. You can go out on our Facebook page, Jedi and Germs. You can leave a Facebook review. You could leave a review on iTunes. We would very, very much appreciate it. We appreciate all your support and listening every week, interacting with us, and telling us what you did or did not enjoy about the show. Please continue to do so. Once again, you can find us, Jedi and Germs, on Twitter, on Facebook, and, of course, anywhere you listen to podcasts. Thank you, guys. Have a great week. John, take us out.
Bye, everybody.